Good morning. The weekend has just got underway. There will be a cessation of work for 2 days. One will partake of a little relaxation, and one will put one's feet up for the duration. How I like the weekends coming around. I can stay in bed, sleeping most sound. The alarm clock not needing to be wound. It'll be deactivated as I snore on my pillow mound. I love Saturdays and Sundays, those wonderful, restful days. I love chilling out and lazying about. Of this fact, there is no doubt. Friday afternoon is the best time of all. One can clock off from work and do very little at all. Should the mood strike me this weekend, I might take the opportunity to ring an old friend. The word weekend is one which makes me glad. It means that there's 48 hours of idling to be had. For those who have a Monday to Friday job, the word weekend is a very happy word. It's a nice word. The weekend, for those who have a Monday to Friday job, weekend is a time to take our minds off of the tasks of work and to think about more pleasant things. Don't think about the things that we have to think about at work. We can relax. We can rest from that. We can take a break from the emails that are coming in, the tasks that need to be done, the extra jobs that our managers want to have us do. We can put our feet up and take a rest from our weekly obligations. It's a time of rest. The idea of taking some time off at the end of the week, of course, started after God created everything, and he rested. Genesis chapter 2. And I'll be reading mostly in the New King James. I think the NIV I have a little bit later, but I'll let you know. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. The idea of taking a rest at the end of the week was so important to God that he included it in the Ten Commandments that he gave the Israelites. By this time, it was called the Sabbath day, though. This is Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord had made the heavens and the earth, and sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath, and he hallowed it. God said there was to be no work on the Sabbath day. Not even the animals were allowed to work. No cattle. The animals weren't even supposed to work on the Sabbath day. It was a day of rest. That sounds pretty good. No work whatsoever. You can just sit around and rest. No farming, no cleaning, no building. They could just sit on their front porches and put their feet up all day and rest. It sounds pretty good. The Sabbath day did have some special rules, though. But even before God gave them the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath was already a special day. It was already set aside with special rules. This is still in Exodus, but now chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, starting verse 22. So this is referring to the manna that was coming down, the bread that would appear every morning for them. Normally they were to go out every morning and pick up the bread off the ground, and that would be their food for the day. And it wouldn't last. It wouldn't last to the next day. If you tried to keep it overnight, it would spoil and rot, and there'd be worms in it, so you couldn't keep it. But the Sabbath was special. So Exodus 16, starting in verse 22. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. So on the day before, on Friday, they were to go out and gather extra food, so they didn't even have to go out of their houses on Saturday, on the Sabbath day. God didn't even want them to go shopping on Saturday, the Sabbath day, their day of rest. Don't even leave your house. Don't even go shopping. Don't even do any work. Don't go out to get that food. He was yelling at them, basically, because they were trying to do the work. They were trying to go out and get their food. But God says, "No, don't do any work. You need to rest." Sure, they had to do a little extra work on Friday, the day before, but that could be worth it to have a whole day off of rest. I wonder if the Israelites look forward to the coming of the Sabbath day. Like we look forward to the coming of the weekend. We're excited on Friday. We're excited for the weekend to come. I wonder if they were excited for the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, they wouldn't have to get up early. They wouldn't have to go out and get dressed and go out and walk through the grass and pick up their bread. That was already done. They could sleep in, have a nice long breakfast. They wouldn't even need to cook it since that was all done the day before too. I wonder if they made special plans. I wonder if they made plans to go to a family member's house or neighbors or go to another city that they've never been to before. They don't get to very often. They had extra time. They didn't have to go pick up their manna, so they had this extra time. I wonder if they had as much excitement for this day of rest as we do for the weekend, which is our rest from our weekly jobs. And that's our time to rest. You know, looking back at Genesis, when God rested, God knew that it was good to rest. He sanctified the day of rest. He separated it. He set it apart as a special day because it was good to have a rest from work. But God did this for us. God created this day of rest for us because he certainly didn't need to rest, did he? Was he tired? Was he tired after the creation? Did he need to take a break from working? Did God take a day off? I certainly hope not. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." The New International translates the last part of that as, in him all things hold together. I certainly hope God didn't take a day off. If he took a day off, there probably wouldn't be a universe anymore. Everything would kind of fall apart. So God does not take a day off, but he took a rest. He took a rest from creating things. He stopped creating. He didn't stop working. He didn't stop doing things for us. He didn't take a rest from maintaining the world. Just because it is the weekend and we don't have our Monday to Friday jobs to go to doesn't mean there isn't work to do. Doesn't mean there aren't still some jobs we need to do. Some people are even busier and work even more during the weekend than they do Monday to Friday. While it would be nice to just sit around and do nothing during the weekend and rest, it's not very realistic. So was this day of rest that God gave the Israelites really a day off? Was it really a day off where they could just sit around and put their feet up, snack around on the manna they gathered the day before? No. No, there was still work to do. Different kind of work. But they still had work to do. One of the most important purposes of the Sabbath was to provide a day for believers to worship and focus on God, both as individuals and as a community. I want to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 58. This one I'll be reading from the New International. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. By designating one day as a special day, the Israelites had an opportunity to come to the Lord, had to come before the Lord, to demonstrate their dependence on Him and to show their obedience to Him as the Lord. Think about the example that they had with the manna. Every day that manna would spoil. If you tried to keep it, it would spoil every single day. They had seen that. They had tested it. They had seen the worms and the smell from it. But on the Sabbath day, that bread, that manna, was still perfect. It was still good. And the only reason for that was God. So they, every Sabbath day, they had this daily reminder of this bread that was gotten, it was picked up the day before, and now it was good for them to eat. This was their day to remember God and remember how much they depended on Him, on how much He gave them. So this means that the Sabbath was not intended as simply a day off to catch up on their chores or to take part in leisure activities with family and friends. Not that those are wrong to do at all. You can still do those, but it's a day to focus on God. It was a day to remember God and focus on Him. In Hebrews chapter 10, I think the point of what the Sabbath day, what they were supposed to do with this Sabbath day, can be found there. Now, obviously, Hebrews chapter 10 was written after Jesus was raised from the dead, so that the old law had passed. So they're no longer commanded to do the Sabbath, but I still think it gets to the gist, the idea of what the Sabbath was for, what they should be doing with their time on that day. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Let us consider one another and stir up love and good works. They were to think about, to consider, to think about one another, to stir up or to motivate one another to do good works. They were not to forsake or neglect the assembly. They were to meet together and exhort and encourage one another. It was important for the Israelites to be together on the Sabbath. And obviously this is a message for us as well. They weren't supposed to take this time off from work to do their own things. Solely their own things. Obviously they can do their own things. But it was also important to be together. Spend it with one another, encouraging one another, motivating one another. So maybe there was still some excitement in the Israelites because of this Sabbath. Not they weren't excited that they had the day off to sit around and do nothing. They were excited because they got to be together and spend time with one another and encourage one another and get encouragement from the other people. They were to use this time for a different kind of work. They didn't have their Monday through Friday, or Monday through, or Sunday through Friday for them, jobs. There was a different kind of work. Not a physical work, but a spiritual work. Even though it was a day of rest, there was still work to do. Work for the Lord. When Jesus came to earth and he began his teaching, there was a group of people, a religious group of people called the Pharisees. And these people were known for insisting that the old law be observed, according to how the scribes interpreted it. And they didn't always agree with Jesus' teachings or how we would do things. So they would sometimes try to catch Jesus, not following the commandment of keeping the Sabbath. Because he and his disciples would do things the Pharisees thought that they shouldn't be doing. But keep in mind that these Pharisees, they like to add. They added a whole bunch of extra rules, extra laws that were not actually given to them. They had the Ten Commandments, and then there's a whole bunch of other laws that were given in some of the other books, Exodus and Leviticus and all them. But then they have additional laws that they created. They created these extra laws to, from what I could read, their intended purpose was to help clarify these additional rules, but these ended up being rules of their own that they thought needed to be carried out. Specifically for keeping the Sabbath, there are 39 categories of work that they say a Jew shouldn't do on the Sabbath. And you can find these online. I'm not going to go over all 39. These additional laws, but some of them are kind of interesting. These additional laws begin to make observing the Sabbath more of a legal obligation than a spiritual obligation. They tended to look at it as more of breaking their law than not spending time with Jesus. They were turning the focus more to them than to God. So again, they were trying to catch Jesus in anything they could find to debunk what he was saying. So they were trying to use his observance of what he would do on the Sabbath sometimes to catch him in this. But I find it interesting to see what Jesus would do on the Sabbath. So I've got a couple examples. Matthew chapter 12 is the first one. Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Continuing. "Now when he had departed from there, he went into the synagogue, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, 'What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand,' and he stretched it out, and it was restored as the other." According to the Pharisees, the disciples were harvesting when they were picking the grains to eat. They were harvesting, which is one of the 39 laws that shouldn't be followed, that shouldn't be done on the Sabbath. But the disciples were just picking the grains to eat. They were not picking the grains in order to sell them, which is what harvesting would be. Harvest all the grains and then sell them and make a profit. The disciples weren't doing that. They were just eating them because they were hungry. But the Pharisees were trying to trap Jesus into saying he wasn't following the Sabbath. I also want to look at Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, there's another story similar to what we just read, starting in verse 10, Luke 13, starting in verse 10, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over, and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her and said to her, "Woman, you are loose from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said those things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I liked it in verse 16. Whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. There's no better day to overcome Satan than on the Sabbath day. That's what one commentary said. Those aren't my words. What better way to overcome Satan than on the Sabbath day? That's the work we should be doing on our day of rest. Overcoming Satan. Conditions occasionally require work to be done on the Sabbath day for them, and on our day of rest as well, such as the example that Jesus gave of a sheep being stuck in a ditch or an ox leading your ox or donkey to water. There's another example of an ox being stuck in a ditch or a pit. There is some work that needs to be done on their Sabbath day, and on our day of rest as well. There is still work for us to do. But I think you can also look at, if the same people are getting their ox stuck in a pit every single Sabbath day, then you might have an issue with those people. You need to make sure your ox isn't getting stuck in a pit every single day of rest, and taking your attention away from overcoming Satan or meeting with the assembly. You can't always use the ox stuck in a pit every day in order to do the work that isn't obligated to the Lord. So the Sabbath day was a day of rest for them, but it was not a day off from doing work. There was still work to be done. So the weekend, back to the weekend. The weekend is a time of rest from our weekly work. So how should we be spending that rest? Should we be sitting around doing nothing? Unfortunately, no. That would be nice, but no. There is work to do. There is work to do. There's work to do for our home, meaning both the physical house itself, but also with the family. It's important to spend time with the family. The family is what makes a house a home. You've heard that one before. So when we take care of the home, yes, we need to take care of the house, clean it, maintain it, but we need to take care of the family as well. That's one of the main reasons I left Best Buy years ago, was was because I had gotten tired of working Saturdays. And then towards the end, they were wanting me to work Sundays again. And that's when I decided it was time to leave. Because I wanted to be with my family. I wanted to be at home. I wanted my day of rest to work at home. So no matter what your schedule is, if you work Monday through Friday, you have the weekend, if whatever your schedule is, there's always time off from our work. So we always have rest time, no matter when that falls in the week for you. We're not certain, again, we're not held to the Sabbath day anymore, but all of us have time to rest at some point. So it's what we decide to do with that time of rest. Sundays are obviously the day that we have selected to be our time to worship God, to meet together, and to be our, quote, Sabbath day, when we can focus on Him. Today makes a good time for us to do the same things that was said in Hebrews chapter 10 that I read earlier, and I'll read it again. A lot of those same things are things that we should be doing today as well. And there's other examples. I'll reread Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 9 through 11. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Acts 2, 41 and 42. Then those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And finally, Colossians chapter 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I had that one out for the good works. We're supposed to motivate each other to good works. So all we do in our lives are to be good. Work at it with your heart as working for the Lord. So after services this morning, I'm going to go home. I'll turn the TV on to a football game. Volume down low. Help Sarah with lunch, getting lunch together. And then I'll turn the TV off. We'll have lunch. And I'll turn the TV back on later. Finish watching some football. I'm resting at that time. Am I still working? Depends on what else I do. If I only do that, and I've been here this morning, obviously, I've been encouraged. I will continue to be encouraged by you. I've fellowshipped. Hopefully I've encouraged you a little. But is that enough? Is it like a time card you punch in and out at work? Oh, I did my time here, and I clock out, and I'm done for the day. I've done my time. No, I think we can do more. That doesn't mean we need to spend all day only focusing on God, that we can't do anything else to please ourselves. I think we can do other things. But I think that if we have the opportunity to spend more time thinking of God today, and basically any time, that we should do that. It's kind of, I can't tell you how much, there's no set time. I can't tell you how much time you should spend thinking of God. It's all personal. But I know one thing I like to do on Sundays is I update the church website. I update the lessons, and so I go through that, and that's another way that I use to remind myself of God and my relationship with Him and with all of you. I listen to the lessons again sometimes, so that's extra time that I'm spending. So it is a day of rest, but again, there's work to be done. There's a different kind of work. It's not the manual labor that we do during the week, but there is work for the Lord that we can do today. So the Israelites had a day set apart for the Lord. The seventh day they were to rest. Did that mean that the Israelites were allowed to ignore God for the other 6 days of the week? No. Every day belongs to the Lord. But they had one day that was set apart as more important. Remember that the day before the Sabbath, they had to gather twice as much manna for the Sabbath. So they had to prepare themselves for the Sabbath. They couldn't forget. They couldn't forget about the day that was coming up that they were going to spend with God. They had to prepare themselves. And I know this is something I could do more. This is the place where I could do more to prepare myself for worship, for the worship service during the week. And maybe there's others like me that I don't prepare myself always for Sunday. Now, obviously, yesterday, yes, I prepared myself for today because I'm on to speak. But if I'm not on to speak, if I don't see myself on the schedule, how much do I prepare myself for? Sad to say, not very often. But by studying God's word, by praying to Him, by meditating on Him, that's how we can prepare ourselves. We can look forward to what we're going to be studying in class. We know where we're going to be. We can study ahead. I like the example that's given in Acts about the Bereans. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 11. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bereans searched the scriptures daily. That's a good way to prepare yourself. Search the scriptures daily. So there's more we could be doing during the week to prepare ourselves for our day of rest. Not just focusing it on God on the day of rest. We need to focus on Him throughout the week. We need to know that this day is coming. Obviously we know it's coming because it's the weekend. We're happy for the weekend. But we need to think more of... I need to think more of it as... less excited about the weekend, more excited about focusing on God. God had promised the Israelites rest in the promised land. I'm not going to go back to any of those verses, but God had promised them rest. Rest in the promised land. From what I've heard and studied about the Israelites in the promised land, it was anything but rest in the promised land. They were constantly fighting. But the word that was used for rest in the Hebrew means to be at peace. God promised his people a peaceful place to settle. And again, it didn't seem very peaceful. But to obtain that peace, to obtain that rest, they had to do a little work. They had to clear out the Canaanites. Which they didn't do. They never did fully clear out the Canaanites. So they weren't able to get that rest. If I still want my time of rest, if I want my rest, I might need to change my definition of rest. I might not be able to just sit there with my feet up, drinking a lemonade or iced tea or whatever. But we can still have a rest. It just depends on what type of rest we're looking for. As Christians, there's always going to be work to do because the devil's always lurking around and we're told to be vigilant. So we can't have that kind of rest. We can't rest from paying attention and serving Him and thinking about Him. But there's another kind of rest. I like the lyrics to the song by a band called 10th Avenue North. The song is called The Spark. Is this the spark where it begins? We find freedom from our sins. Is this the place I finally trust? Your presence is enough to speak light in my darkness, speak life till I know. There's strength for my weakness. Slow down, oh my soul. You are where my soul finds rest. You are where I lay my head. Your grace lets me catch my breath, lets me fall into your arms again. God, my life I shall not roam. Lead me where your waters run. You, yourself, and nothing less, all my life I'll fight to rest. Speak light in my darkness. Speak life till I know. There's strength for my weakness. Slow down, oh my soul. You are where my soul finds rest. You are where I lay my head. Your grace lets me catch my breath, lets me fall into your arms again. Tell me your love will never fail me. I'm safe here in your mercy. You're keeping me alive. I need to feel your peace within me. Calm the fears that haunt me. Clear away the lies. Tell me your love is in my bloodstream. It's burning up my heartbeat, bringing me your light. You are where my soul finds rest. You are where I lay my head. Your grace lets me catch my breath, lets me fall into your arms again. God is where our souls will find rest. It is with God that we can truly have the rest. Because Christians have been promised a rest as well. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is the type of rest I look forward to. No death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. We finally don't have to worry about that lion that's hunting us down. I've heard in other lessons that we will have some type of work to do in heaven. There will be something to do there. But in heaven, even work will still be the best rest ever. That's the kind of rest that I want to have. But to have that kind of rest, we have some work to do here. This isn't a place of rest. We have a weekend of rest. We have a day of rest from work. There's still work to do. Just like the Israelites needed to do some work, they needed to clear out the Canaanites in order to get their peace, to get their rest in the promised land. They weren't able to get that rest since they never got rid of the people they were supposed to. But we have work to do. It isn't as hard as fighting the Canaanites physically, but it can be hard spiritually sometimes to fight the Canaanites, to fight the sins that are in our lives, to fight the devil and the temptations he faces us. Facing the trials and temptations of this world aren't easy. But if we're looking back at it from the rest that we're enjoying in heaven, it wouldn't seem that bad. But we need to take advantage of Jesus' sacrifice, as we'll be reminded of his sacrifice. He sacrificed himself that we could be free from our sins. He did the hard work. He did the hard work for us. The work we have left is relatively easy. So we invite you this morning, if you're wanting that rest someday, not the rest today, but if you want that rest someday, you need to accept Jesus as your Savior. And you are invited to come forward if you need that as we stand and sing.